This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
And tonight I have a message for the brave and oppressed people of Iraq. Your enemy is not surrounding your country. Your enemy is ruling your country. And the day he and his regime are removed from power will be the day of your liberation.
President George W. Bush on Tuesday delivering his second State of the Union address. The president began his speech talking about the economy and health care, but by the end it seemed clear that the Bush administration's top priority is disarming Saddam Hussein. Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And Dan, there was a letter published in the Wall Street Journal on Thursday, I believe, in which eight European governments expressed their support for President Bush in the campaign against Saddam Hussein. France and Germany, at any rate at least, are unreconciled and continue to oppose intervention there. How serious is the split in Europe and obviously the split between France and Germany and the United States?
Well, I think potentially quite serious. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has been here making war plans with President Bush, and Britain has become somewhat isolated from the European community because he is supporting the president. Then you have these problems of France and Russia and China, which is not in Europe, but still. Those eight governments that you spoke about, what was rather interesting is the ragged line that runs through Europe as illustrated by that. For example, the Czech Republic signed on, but Slovakia didn't sign on. Hungary signed on, but Austria didn't sign on. Spain signed on, but not the Netherlands or Belgium. It's like a kind of San Andreas fault that's running through Europe under this pressure of whether you do or do not support this war.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate any change before the next UN vote if that happens?
There's always a hope that France always does sees this thing in terms of national interest. There's always the hope on the part of the Bush administration that France will in the end come through, but I wouldn't count on it.
Secretary of State Colin Powell will go to the Security Council on Wednesday and present the U.S., in a sense, U.S. and British case for war against Iraq. Mm-hmm. I know you've been nosing around. We understand he's going to present at least some declassified U.S. intelligence information to make that case.
Yeah, well, this is a quite crucial speech. It is probably the last chance that there is to sway some of those who doubt getting into war in the UN before the fur starts to fly. I do understand from someone fairly senior in the intelligence community that there's a lot of very strenuous work going on this very weekend to determine what deep secrets can be declassified in order to make it possible for Secretary Powell to make a more persuasive case, even more persuasive than the president made in the State of the Union. Mm-hmm. I'm told there are three categories of material that are being reviewed. The ones that have to do with sight, pictures, imagery from satellites. Second has to do with sound, that is, intercepts by the NSA, National Security Administration. Things like pictures of trucks being moved, mobile biological weapons labs, other things. And then and then among the NSA intercepts, they hear conversations, apparently, in which people congratulate each other on how well they're hiding things from the inspectors, and that is expected to make a big impression. And finally, something called human intelligence, which is human beings, of course, and that may be defectors. As to whether that also includes spies in place in Iraq, I don't know, and I would not expect anybody to tell me.
A couple of resolutions have been introduced in Congress that may or may not affect events. Senator Kennedy has introduced a measure that would seek, a new vote of the Congress. Senator Byrd has introduced a measure that would require the president to seek a new vote of the UN. Whatever happens to these measures, if the United States pushes for a second resolution and does not get it, veto is exercised, let's say, by France or China, or perhaps even just by China. What do you anticipate U.S. response will be then?
Well, it's not my impression the United States is pressing for a second resolution. The sound you hear from the White House is more, if they want to have one, that's okay. We don't mind having one. Mm-hmm. We don't think it's necessary. We think we have all the authority we need from Congress and from the United Nations based on last November's resolution. It is Prime Minister Blair who is pushing very hard to try to get one because he needs to patch up his own relations within his own Labour Party. And so the way it looks now, it is the president keeps saying now weeks, not months. Mm-hmm. I think that he does not want a long debate in the UN that would interrupt his timetable. So I think he's really saying, go ahead if you want to, but I don't think it's so important to get another resolution.
At the same time, let's not ignore North Korea this week, because there has been a heightening of perceptible and palpable tensions there.
Well, it looks like something is happening there. What apparently is going on with North Korea is that American spy satellites have detected a lot of activity around one of the nuclear reactors in North Korea, and so, which may mean that they're removing rods and beginning to get plutonium and that they're moving ahead with their nuclear weapons program. Now the commander of U.S. forces in the Pacific, Admiral Thomas Fargo, asked for additional forces, more troops, more bombers, more ships. Well, not to worry. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld always said the U.S. can fight two wars simultaneously.
Of course, we've talked about concerns overseas, but really almost two-thirds of the President's State of the Union address was on domestic
That's
concerns.
That's right.
What struck you there?
Well, I'll tell you what struck me there. I think that there was that billions of dollars to combat AIDS in Africa, which came from a president who last year vetoed an appropriation of $200 million for that purpose. Something of surprise was outlining a Medicare overhaul that would give beneficiaries prescription drugs only if they shift to private managed care programs. One surprise was there was nothing about Arctic drilling for more energy, and instead we got the idea of a hydrogen-powered car. That was a little sort of different. Mm-hmm. And what really surprised me in all together was that he devoted this major part of his speech to domestic initiatives. Mm-hmm. And it may be that he doesn't want to repeat the mistake his father made of being famous as a war president who lost the election because he neglected the economy and other domestic issues. Mm-hmm. That was the big surprise, so much on the domestic side.
At the same time, of course, the White House budget is expected to come out on Monday. The president enunciated a number of programs, kept invoking the term compassion. Sometimes there's a distance between the budget and the speech, isn't there?
There's a distance. Well, the $2.2 trillion budget, right? Yeah. A lot more money, $500 billion now for the Pentagon. Over a period of time, it'll be $500 billion. The budget will carry out the initiatives that the president spoke about in his State of the Union. There will be a big fight now over health care because there are already objections to what's being offered there. They'll be passing on to the states the ability to do more of what they want to do with Medicaid, which means they will not necessarily get more money for that purpose. It'll be an interesting budget to watch as we get ready for a war.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.